Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
All right, welcome to Birdland Tonight. I'm Josh Soroka from Section 336, joined with my co-host of Section 336 and my brother, Matt. Matt, how do you like being second fiddle?
Welcome to Birdland Tonight. I am your host, Matt Soroka.
No, that's on your other show. This is my show.
Okay, well, first, in the spreadsheet I signed up first, it doesn't matter because we're here celebrating a 7-6 Orioles victory. Ramon Urias, the most unlikely of heroes, with the walk-off game-winning hit. I'm pumped.
All right. We can start there at the end of the game. How were you like me, annoyed that Urias was up to the plate? Like, I was like, we have someone on the bench that can come in and substitute?
Yeah, it was interesting, right? And just at the thing where you know Ruiz is on the bench. Well, but then at the same moment, yeah, he went and pitched run for Franco when Franco got to second base at the same moment. But no, because Urias had Ramon had the home run in the first game. So you start to think, okay, he had the home run in the first game. And that's when I was pumped that Franco came up, because Franco had that big base clearing double. And sometimes when a player has one good hit, they often are the guy who also gets the second big hit. But no, I was okay with him up there. I mean, it's not ideal for me, but like how I feel is like, who do you want up there at the end? Trey Mancini? I don't know if I really want Trey Mancini up there at the end.
There's one guy.
Oh, yeah, there's one guy. Cedric Mullins is an absolute stud.
He's now got a 15-game hitting streak.
Yeah.
And if you've noticed, what was this game? 9-10 were today?
Yeah.
So that's or 10 and 11.
Yeah, I was a little nervous, too, because this is the type of game where you could get screwed because you could only get 3 at-bats because of the shortened game.
We'll get to that, because the 7 inning sucks.
Oh, I completely disagree. I'm a huge fan of it, actually. But we can talk about that later. But the big takeaway for this game is, Josh, my reaction at the end. I don't know how you were. My reaction at the end when we got the game winning hit, the walk off hit.
Yeah, this hit right in the middle.
When Ruiz, a solid up the middle. Ruiz runs across the base. For me, it wasn't even like jumping up. It was like relief. It was relief because I mean, to lose the lead in the seventh inning and we can get the Plucko being in there, but to lose the lead. Was just, and after what happened in game one, to lose this game would have been devastating.
So the fact that we
won is like, take a breath.
I thought it was the curse of you and I, because opening day, the Orioles lost on stupid fielding. Then we went back on Saturday. They went into extra innings, went into extra innings because of stupid fielding and paying attention to the guy they got in a pickle, and then lost an extra innings. Then this afternoon, they lose an extra innings. I thought tonight, oh, they're going to get screwed and lose an extra innings again, and it's because of Matt and I.
Yeah. Well, I'm starting to, just because of the results, I'm starting to really hate the extra innings.
Yeah, totally.
Because it doesn't seem to play out well for the Orioles.
No. The ghost runner on second base. I know you have a problem with the term
ghost runner. I don't understand the term ghost runner.
But I believe that's the term that baseball fans have accepted.
Yeah, but Josh, if we're playing in the backyard and we got like 5 guys playing baseball, we don't have a runner for third base, so we'll just put a ghost runner there, as in there's no body.
Right.
We'll just put a pretend runner there in third base.
Yeah, That makes sense.
To me, that's what the ghost runner is. I don't understand. There's an actual person standing at second base, right, and you call him a ghost runner. I don't really get that.
Because here's what happens. Imagine if you're playing a baseball game, no one got a hit, and suddenly someone pops up on second base. That would freak you out, like there's a ghost on second base.
Yeah, but it's not like a dead dude. It's one of our players.
You don't know that. You just know a guy that didn't get a hit showed up on second base.
Okay, no, I know that Galvis was not dead when he showed up at second base in that first game.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe they could change this rule so that instead of your last out, it's your last dead guy.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. You know, that would make more sense with the ghost runner.
Or you can stick with the same way you're choosing who runs, but they have to wear a jersey of a dead Oriole.
Yeah, but that was a crazy last inning, Josh.
It was so much fun.
The situation was, you had Santander, Mancini, and Franco coming up, and you're like, okay, like this is the heart of our order. Like, if you're gonna come up in the bottom of the seventh, this is it. Like, you want Santander. I think he's been playing, he's been hitting the ball well the past couple of days. He had that good line drive up the middle at the start of the game, and it seems like also our team just has better at bats. And High talked about this in his post game after the first game, that our team just tends to have better at bats as the game goes on. But you think Santander, Mancini, Franco, like this is our chance. And then, you know, Mancini pops up and Santander gets out, and all of a sudden it's two outs, and Franco gets up, and you think, okay, well, you know, this is not the inning that we thought it was going to be. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Franco, what, he walks, right? And then there's the error. There's the error, and then all of a sudden, here we are with this two-out rally at the bottom of our lineup.
Right, McKenna check swings, actually makes contact, which is where you got the error. So then you got McKenna on first, then Franco on second. They pinch run Franco.
And then the wild pitch.
The wild pitch puts Ruiz into third base. And next thing we know, shot up the middle.
Yeah, it's a wild game. And two runners would have scored if two runners could have scored. But the winning run scores, and we go home 7-6 victors. And I feel really good about that win. Feel really good about it.
All right. If you're watching us on Facebook, we've got a poll under our video where you can vote for the Orioles MVP. Currently, it is Mullins at 80% and Mountcastle at 20%.
It's Urias.
It should be Urias. Urias has 0 votes.
No, I don't care about your stupid poll. Urias is the answer. You have to game walk off.
I was going to say the same thing. When you get a clutch hit like that, it doesn't matter anything else in the game. A clutch hit, walk off. You are the Orioles MVP. I know on TV they talked to Mullins. I get that. Yeah. Mullins is the hot bat. He's been the hot bat all year. That's great. But Urias gets the vote today. He got the walk-off.
And Mullins is doing something. Like, every time he gets a hit, like, I'm almost more amazed, because I think it's a bit of mirage. Like, certainly this will – like, he can't keep on doing this. But his on-base percentage is still over .500. And he's still, I mean, he's got the history going, and it's still pretty incredible. But yeah, I was given on our podcast on Monday, I was giving Urias a hard time because he had like 7 at bats and 5 strikeouts. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because he hit the home run the first game. And more importantly, he had the walk off hit in this game.
Right.
Absolute solid, solid up the middle single. Love it. Love it.
We haven't really talked about the first game. I don't know if we really need to.
No, I got too much to talk about the second game. Let's just talk about our victory.
So, all right, but let's start at the beginning. Dean Kramer, he only made it 4 innings.
Yeah.
Gave up 4 runs in 4 innings. That's a disappointment, right, that he could only go 4.
Yeah. I mean, he only threw 50 pitches or something.
Right. Someone lost trust in him, or was he shortened to 4 because – taking you out at the 4 would be like taking you out in 5.
Like, yeah, I think some of it was strategy. Like, you realize you didn't need to get to 9 innings.
Right.
So all of a sudden LeBlanc, who only threw 1 inning, right? That's all you needed from him to plug. But then, like, you second guess everything, right? When you blow a lead. Like, you wonder if LeBlanc could have pitched 2 innings, then Plocco could have pitched 2 innings and gotten the save instead of having to pitch 3 where he blew the save.
Well, yeah.
But focused on Kramer, I mean, Kramer started off pitching really well, throwing a lot of strikes. I mean, Kramer's whole deal is this, and it's very simple. And Ben McDonald was talking about this in the show. Like, if he gets ahead in the count, 0-1, 0-2, he's super effective. Like, he has strikeout pitches. Like, we've seen a bunch of, I feel like, Oriole pitchers who get to the 0-2 count and don't know how to finish off the batter. That's not true for Kramer. Like, he can finish guys off. The right. problem is what happened in the you know, going back to the, I don't know, all the way to the third inning, is Kramer in the third inning lost the strike zone, and so he yes. started getting behind guys 2-0, 3-0, and I don't know why that happens, why he's cruising along and can hit his spots in the first two innings, then all of a sudden it's the third inning and he can no longer find the strike zone with his fastball. Yeah. But that's what happened.
Yeah, totally agree. I misspoke earlier saying he went four. He went three innings.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a disappointment. But he did. You're right. When he was hot, he got three strikeouts in yep. three innings. That's good. You want to get a strikeout per inning. That's acceptable. That's very good.
Oh, yeah. Like, if he gets ahead in the count, and this is true for all pitchers, but it's especially true with him. If he gets ahead in the count, like, he's dominant. But when he gets behind, which happened in the third inning, I mean, it was a single, a double, a walk, like all, like you know, and because he was getting behind guys 2-0, 3-0, every single time.
Thankfully, right after he struggled in the third, Marjovius or whatever the guy's name is for Seattle also struggled, and we got the four runs back very, very fast.
Yeah, so the errors were just huge for Seattle today.
Yes,
it was Stewart's hit in the third inning where. He reached on an error. And then there was this was one of the funnier after the error with Stewart. This is one of the funnier plays for me. There was the bean ball for Santander, yes. but it was like a curve ball that landed like 10 feet in front of Santander and then on the bounce hit him.
Right.
So that was, if you're going to get hit by a ball, getting hit off the bounce like that is pretty nice. And then Josh, and then of course the big hit. And so if you want to argue for the second player of the game, it's not still Cedric Mullinsari. It's Franco with the big base clearing yes. double. And to me, whenever I see a bases loaded double, I get the dumb and young chills all across my body. It's just so exciting for me. There is literally nothing more exciting than a double with the bases loaded. Like, that to me is like the most exciting play in all of baseball. And so I was pumped to see it. I was pumped to see them send Santander, even if he was going to be out by a mile. You know, his leg hit the glove and the ball popped out.
Right.
So that was a great moment in the game to get yes. those runs back right away.
Because you're right. He was out by a mile. He did a great job kicking that ball right out of the glove.
Yeah, that was cool. It was also fun that same inning to see Mountcastle stole second base. That was yep. fun as well.
Got his first. Yeah. All good there. And then you mentioned Plutko. How is it that – I get that Plutko gave up and blew the save on going in for a third inning. But before that point, Plutko's been like perfect for the Orioles this season.
Yeah, he's been really good, and I think, like, I don't know really why, because I was talking to this.
Doesn't make sense.
The last game the last post game I did with Ryan Blake, I was talking about Plutko too because he pitched for a couple innings, and it's like he gives up weak contact, but like he doesn't have dominant stuff. Like he throws low 90s. Like you look at his stuff, like I don't know how this guy's getting people out. But he just produces weak contact after weak contact after weak contact.
Right.
Kevin Brown on the broadcast, he focused on this idea of kind of once through the lineup. And so we yes. saw with the Mariners starter, second time through the lineup, really struggled. And LeBlanc is what happened to him too, second time through the lineup. Though I think it's more, again, it's the same issue with Kramer, where he got behind, you know, 3-1 to Haggerty. And by the way, I don't blame Plutko for throwing a fastball down the middle to Haggerty. When Haggerty's an absolute bum, Josh. Haggerty is a bum. That was his second career home run. If you just look at his stats, like here's just his stats real quick.
Yeah.
He has 70 career at-bats, a batting average of 200. And going into the game, he had one home run.
Yeah, we've been making fun of how poor our lineup has been and really cold. But yeah, he has a batting average of 158.
That's he was the ninth hitter. He was the ninth hitter of a weak lineup. He was their number nine hitter. So you don't expect to get beat by that guy.
Right.
And so that's why Plutko came right at him with the fastball, because you don't expect him to beat you like that. But he did. And credit to the Orioles for coming back from that. But Josh, do you think it was the right move to keep him in there, or would you have put Valdez in there?
I like Valdez as the closer, so I can understand. Well, no, I guess that would be coming in for the save at that point.
Yeah, you're up by two runs.
Yeah, you're up by two. I would have liked to see Valdez come in. I like Valdez and his dead fish pitch. I don't understand how it works. except for the movement. It's got crazy movement. So I like him in that situation. But like I said, Plutko's been perfect this season. So I can't question any time you put him in and give him the ball.
Yeah, we talk about this sometimes with managers. I feel like we've had this conversation where, like, you sometimes wonder why managers take out a hot hand, right? Yeah. Like, why would you use four pitchers when one of them could be off one night? When if you got a guy that's working, like, just stick with him.
Right.
And Plutko seemed to be working. So, like, yeah, that was my, like, my opinion at the time was, this is okay. I'm okay with Plutko staying in. And I love Valdez. I love him. And I was okay with Plutko staying in. Then after the Plutko gave up the home run, I was like, Hyde, you're an idiot. You should have put Valdez
in. I know. And that's what we do as fans. We say, but because there's two things. The manager can either basically, for fans, it all depends whether or not it works. If it works,
absolutely,
we're like, okay, yeah, that's great. If it doesn't work, if you pull Valdez and then Valdez gives up the home run, you say, why'd you remove the hot hand? You know, you get upset for him pulling him. So whenever you take a guy out before he struggles, it doesn't look good on you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And this is, and again, like, the easier decision would be to go to Valdez because he's your closer and this is a closing situation. And so for some managers, automatic, oh, it's a 6-4 game, close situation, let's go to Valdez. So I thought the riskier decision, like the decision that would open up Hyde to more criticism, would be keeping Plutko in. And I saw people on Twitter saying, Hyde has some answers. Someone's going to have to ask Hyde these tough questions.
Right. And thankfully, the hot hand.
And thankfully, Ramon let him off the hook a little bit by getting the game-winning hit. Our player of the game. Yeah. Has that poll got any better, Josh?
Yes. Ramon is up to 17%. Right. And Mullins has dropped down to 67%. So if you're over on Facebook, go on over and vote for the Orioles MVP. Ramon Urias needs your vote. If you didn't notice, he hit the walk-off tonight. Plus, we're going to try something new with Birdland tonight. If you guys want to be a part of the show, if you want to come on and ask your questions personally, instead of just typing things in comments or share your feedback, click on the link in there in the comments and maybe we'll bring you on as part of the show.
Hey, a couple other notes just that I wanted to make a point of.
All right.
I thought Ryan Mountcastle played really well.
Yeah.
I thought if you look at his hits, both in the first game and the second game, they're throwing him a ton of curveballs, and today he was hitting the curveball. So I think it's not just significant that he was getting on base,
all right,
but that he's hitting the curveball.
All right, let's take a quick break right here and come back, and let's talk about this lineup and some of the guys on it.
Okay.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
All right, Matt, you were talking about Ryan Mountcastle and how he did get two hits today.
Both on curveballs.
Both on curveballs. So that's a big improvement and something. Hey, and not to mention, he played left field tonight.
Yep.
A lot of controversy about whether or not he should be in the outfield. No issues tonight.
Yeah, he was taken away at the end, a defensive replacement type deal with Ryan McKenna.
But that's what you want to do.
Yep.
That's a good move. That's a smart move.
Yeah.
Do you think when he's at, do you think in the outfield helps him like not think about batting, kind of take some stress away? I don't know the mindset of a DH. Like if you're a DH and you go up there and you strike out, do you sit on that bench just thinking about that strikeout until you're up to bat again?
I don't know. I couldn't help but notice the juxtaposition here between Trey Mancini and Ryan Mountcastle, where Trey Mancini seems so obviously to be pressing because he's struggling and it feels like he wants to hit a five-run homer.
Trey Mancini, his face is about to explode when he's up
at
the plate.
Yeah, he seems really frustrated.
He is so tense that you can read it in his face. He's so angry that he's not working at the plate.
Yeah,
he's a guy that should be a DH tomorrow and give him a little break.
Well, and he did have a really good at-bat, his last at-bat, where he worked a walk from an 0-2 count.
0-2 to the wall.
Yeah, I call that a great at-bat. And then, yeah,
not what your text messages say.
But the thing about Ryan Mountcastle is he had that ball too. He pulled the double, and then he hit a ball to right field, right? He went the other way with it. And to me, that shows like he just was patient, waited for the ball, and went the other way. Like that shows he's not trying to pull everything. He's not trying to crush everything. Like he's still up there kind of with that same approach of I'm going to go with the pitch,
right,
which is so encouraging for me to see him take an outside curveball and go to right field with it, an inside curveball and pull it.
Right.
Is just a great approach at the plate. And so it felt, especially because Ryan Mountcastle has been struggling, you would think maybe he's pressing, but he still has a really good approach to the bat, which I think is saying a lot about that young hitter. So I'm really optimistic about Ryan Mountcastle going forward.
Yeah.
Do you know who else I think had a really good game today? I don't know. Do you have any impressions of someone that stuck out to you? I have one other guy that stuck out to me today, besides Cedric Mullins.
I liked the hustle of McKenna in that same position to get down to first base on
speed,
an obvious out.
Speed is fun.
Right. Like that's a game. That's a type of hit that Manny Machado would not run.
Mm.
We saw that. How many times did we see Manny Machado not run the first base?
That is such a random criticism at Machado. Just look at a couple days ago against the Yankees where Franco didn't run out of ball to first base.
That's true.
So I don't know why you got to talk about go back years and talk about Manny Machado, you bitter old man. Stop.
Because for some reason, when I thought of not hustling the first base, Machado is the guy that pops in my head.
No, but I thought that was fun. I think his speed, his defense, like that's what you can do. You can have a bad at bat and still get on base when you have speed. No, but the other guy that stood out to me, and this is more defensively, though he also had a base hit, and that's Chance Sisko. I thought he did a really nice job behind the plate.
Especially for positions where all Oriole fans hate all the Oriole catchers.
Yeah. I've talked about that before because we have,
because we got Rutschman. So whenever there's a mistake or the catcher doesn't hit a home run, all of Orioles or all of Birdland says, oh, well, Adley would have hit the home run or Adley wouldn't have done that, which isn't the case because Adley's also human. But until he comes up, he's Jesus.
Yeah, but he's Jesus in cleats, just like Matt Wieters was. But I thought there was, especially because Kramer was a little bit wild, there was some really good blocks on his part. And he got that base hit against the shift. So it was... Yeah, I thought he had a good game. I thought LeBlanc too. That LeBlanc has not been pitching well, but I thought today he pitched really well. I'm also like confused a little bit as far as how Hyde is using LeBlanc, because now he used LeBlanc this game as kind of that middle guy to get to Plutko, where previously he used them in the opposite way, where Plutko would pitch first and then he would be at the end. So LeBlanc, I think Hyde is still figuring out his bullpen a little bit here too.
Right. LeBlanc was also like a quick specialist. He just came in and got out, got the outs, got out of the inning.
Yeah, I think it was three up, three down with LeBlanc.
That I would imagine that has something to do with where the Mariners were in their lineup.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. And that's what, when this season started, right? I remember Hyde saying like, "There's no closer. Like we're gonna pitch to the situation."
Well, we learned our lesson today.
Yeah, and I guess this is Hyde pitching the situation. But I really like the combination of Tanner Scott throwing 100 miles per hour and then backing that up with a guy throwing a dead fish.
Yes.
Like I like that kind of combination. Well, it doesn't work as quite as well Plutko and Valdez.
And it doesn't work with seven innings.
Yeah.
That's the type of combination that's great for 8 and 9. Because, yeah, that's what I want. I want when Orioles are all healthy, I want to see Tanner Scott in the 7th, Valdez in the 8th, Hunter Harvey in the 9th. So you get that,
yeah,
that fastball, crap fastball.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that would be a great lineup at the back of the rotation. I am, Josh. I'll just say it. I am a fan. I know this is unpopular. I'm a fan of the 7-inning, 2.5-hour baseball game. We see 14 innings of baseball. 18 innings of baseball is a lot of baseball for one day. I'm okay with 14 innings.
I'm okay with 7-inning games if all 162 are 7-inning games.
Oh, no, that would be terrible.
When it's random, it feels like playing 3/4 of a football game. Imagine if football said, oh, we had a little rain in the morning, so now we're going to play only 3/4 instead of 4/4. Your game plan changes as a team. Strategy changes. It's a different game.
Yeah, I guess I like that too. Like, I like the different strategies too. So that's part of your criticism, part of the appeal for me. Yeah. And it's not like random. It's double headers.
Yes.
So we're already seeing at least 14 innings today. Free baseball, we saw 15 innings.
Yes.
But I mean, 18 innings is a lot. And so I like, for double headers, I like the 14 innings.
No, and knowing that we had to do Birdland tonight, it was nice that it was ending at 10 o'clock. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, and a 9-inning game. This would be 11:30 right now.
Yeah. And Kevin Brown made a comment during the broadcast that he's a fan of the 7-inning games.
Okay. Do you want to jump on the bandwagon, the Ben McDonald and Kevin Brown bandwagon?
Well, I mean, that was so much better than what we've been getting this season, right?
Mm. Do Kevin Brown and Jim Palmer ever work together? I think that'd be a fun combination.
I don't know. I like the Kevin Brown, Ben McDonald combination. I'd like to see a Kevin Brown, Brian Roberts combination.
Because
I think Brian Roberts is very good too.
Mm.
But he made the comment about how he's a fan of the seven innings, and people on Twitter were giving him a hard time. And I'm like, of course he's a fan. It means he gets off early.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of the 7-hour workday. Who wouldn't be?
I don't get it. I mean, as someone who likes to go to bed at 10:30, I also am a fan of the 7-inning game.
I mean, how happy were you last week when you had a half day off work? You're a fan of half days too.
I'm a huge fan of half days.
Of course he wants it to end early.
Yeah. Yeah. If you could, like, let me sign up. A 90-minute delay, I'm over the moon. Dismissal, I'm over the freaking moon. Right. So, yeah.
Meanwhile, on the opposite side, when that rain delay got longer and longer yesterday, and then it looked like maybe they were going to try to play late, and I knew I had to do Birdland tonight, I'm looking at my clock like, oh, this is going to be like a West Coast game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, So we didn't have a Birdland tonight for the first game, but that's all right. Tough loss in the 8th.
And this is, again, why I think this win was so important, because
we can
the loss
that.
In the first game, like, okay, you thought, okay, you're down 3-0, whatever. Then you score 3 runs to tie it. Then all of a sudden you got a new baseball game. You know, it's like, this could be our first comeback win. Like, let's go. And then to lose it was just demoralizing. And then all of a sudden you get a big lead here in this game.
Yeah.
And then to lose that lead to this bum Haggerty, you're thinking, like, it's just a devastating. Like, it was, I don't know if I would have even done Birdland tonight. I would just would have sat here and, like, moped the entire time, because it would have been such a. So my response to winning, that's why I said, was more relief, because, oh my gosh, it would have been so devastating if we lost.
Especially
oh my gosh.
After the loss, after the tough series sweep with Boston.
And I see signs, Josh, with scoring 7. What did we score? 4 in the first game? 3? 4?
We scored
3.
We lost 4-3.
But 10 runs in 14 innings. Better at bats, I felt like, by Ryan Mountcastle, Franco. Mullen's still doing his thing. I feel like maybe the offense is starting to churn to life a little bit. Santander, I thought, hit the ball hard. Even in that last inning of the first game, that final inning where all balls were hit on the money and hit hard. Like, it was 3 hard hit balls that were just hit either just short or at the wrong players or just right at somebody. But I feel like we see signs of our offense kind of come to life.
Totally agree. The Orioles are still in second place. So I now, yes, we're still tied with everyone in the division at 5-6, except for the Boston Red Sox.
I'll take it.
Who we swept the Red Sox for those first three games. They haven't lost since we left Boston.
Yeah.
And this I don't really know what to understand about the Red Sox right now.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I think you always have to keep in mind as baseball fans. Like, you have your team and you get so myopically focused on your team, you don't realize like stuff's happening to the other team. And it could be that the Red Sox are just freaking on fire and it didn't matter who they played.
Yeah.
They would have taken care of business no matter who they played. Oh, and by the way, yesterday, the Toronto Blue Jays, one of the best hitting teams in baseball, got completely shut down by Garrett Cole, just like Garrett Cole shut us down like that.
Right.
Sometimes other players have players too who are really good. And so, but the same is true with the Mariners. The Mariners are not a great baseball team, so maybe our offense is not coming to life more than we're playing the Mariners. Which, by the way, that was weird too. In today's game, when they brought Best in in that key moment, and he's a Rule 5 guy. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
bringing a Rule 5 guy in this key moment in the game. Like, you wouldn't see Stroller or Tyler Wells in there in that situation for the Orioles. I would hope not, at least, unless you were, I guess, short on arms. But at that point, I thought, oh, we got this game. And then we almost had this game.
Yeah.
And we did have the game, but not exactly how as I planned it out.
Not quite. Yeah. Well, as we wrap up this game, Urias has gained a little bit more in our Facebook poll, as he is now up to 33% in second place behind Mullins at 50%.
Okay, you should never do these polls again. It's terrible. Yeah.
Well, come on.
Until we get better listeners.
Have you ever seen the polls on like Masson and stuff? You never trust the viewer.
So all right we'll
give you time. You can still probably vote if you're watching the replay and help get Urias, who hit the walk-off to win the game, that Orioles MVP vote on Birdland tonight.
All
right, this is a four-game series with Seattle, so whether they're good or bad, who really cares? We get two more games, and you said they're bad. They got a better record than us. They are 6-5.
I know, but they're not projected to. They're not supposed to win the division. They're not really supposed to be a playoff team.
And they don't play the teams we play. They didn't play the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Yeah, and I mean, it's surprising though, right, Josh? That if you would have laid this out and said we win one out of two of the doubleheaders, do we win the Kramer start or the John Means start? I probably would have said the John Means start, right?
Well,
we ended up winning the Kramer start,
right? And I mean, John Means had a fine start. I mean, he gave up 4 runs in 5 innings, I believe. Yeah, 5 – no, 3 runs. He gave up 3 runs in 5 innings.
Yeah.
Because it went to extras, and that's where they got
the
ball. That's a fine start for John Means.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see the next 2 starts. I mean, we got Harvey going tomorrow night.
I am loving Harvey this year.
And then we got Zimmerman going the next night. Yeah. So those are 2 guys I'm excited to see pitch again, because I think – the jury's kind of still out in them, so I'm curious to see how they do. And the jury's still out on Dean Kramer too. Like, these are all pitchers who I think are still trying to figure themselves out, which is kind of fun.
Yep. So hop on back on here for Birdland tonight, tomorrow after the game, as Cody from the I Like the Duck podcast will be on here. I'm not sure who will be joining him, but you'll at least get Cody here for game 3 against Seattle. Justin Dunn takes the mound for the Mariners. And as Matt just said, Matt Harvey for the Orioles. 7:05 start. Thursday's a 1:05 start, so get ready for that one. Anything else, Matt, before we get out of here?
No, that's it for me. We appreciate everyone tuning in to this 7-6 victory walk-off win for our Baltimore Orioles.
All right, see you guys.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.